Welcome back to another episode of Tam Tonight. I'm your host, Tam. Thank you for coming to hang out with me and, like, spend this time so we can chop it up. All right. I don't have, like, a lot of politics this week because I was out and I was doing things and I was busy, like, with my family and other things. So, I didn't have time to read a bunch of stuff to, like, bring you something thoroughly thought out. But there's this one thing. Senate House passed. Updated coronavirus bill. A part of that bill is going to be another $1,200 Trump check to all of us Americans that make under, I think, $75,000 or $100,000. Also, there are a lot of evictions. I saw something online that said there are over 100,000 evictions that have already been filed in the state of California. And then I saw something else. Like I said, I didn't have time to thoroughly research this, so I don't know, like, if these numbers are exact, but they came from credible sources. I just didn't have time to, like, go and fact check it. So, and it said, overall, there are like 500,000 evictions that have already been filed in America, like, since this thing has happened, starting early March. So that is crazy. Crazy. People are leaving large cities, like Exodus. I'm even seeing a lot of wealthier people, and I saw it at the beginning, but it's kind of more so now. I'm seeing a lot of wealthier people that are, like, in the entertainment industries, comedians, people that have podcasts, people that were actors, what have you. They're leaving LA and California as a whole, like, tech startups, not just startups, but big tech companies and all their employees, since they've shut the buildings down, it kind of doesn't make sense for me to pay this high rent to be in San Francisco if my job is, like, saying we're going to work from home forever and I could just move somewhere else. So that is, like, really what's going on in America right now. And a lot of people I feel that have a little bit of money, like, they're not rich, but they have a little bit of money, enough to move around and maneuver, they are choosing to go move to places that are less densely populated, less expensive to live, and it's just, I don't know, I feel like Black people, as a culture, we're kind of behind on those sort of things because we like to kind of be in the place to be, if you understand what I'm saying. So, like, we gravitate towards the large cities. Besides in the South, where the concentration of most of the Black Americans are, we gravitate to the cities. So New York, Los Angeles, like Chicago, Detroit, those hub places, and I think it's because there was, like, a lot of, in metropolitan areas, it's easy for a Black person to get by, in my opinion, in my experience. Like, when there's a whole bunch of different cultures, it's way easier for you to just be the person in the mix of, like, the people of color and not really kind of define yourself well out that, oh, I'm Black and I stand for these things. So if you kind of just check the box and they need a Black person and you're qualified for the job, you kind of get it in more metropolitan areas. Where in other places, I don't really know a lot about that. And it seems like, from the outside, there's a bit more discrimination. And there's a bit more, like, I don't know, like a strange vibe. Like, there's a lot more hoops that you got to jump through. When out here, you know, speaking from my California experience personally, if you are an educated person that speaks a certain way, that looks a certain way, carries themselves a certain way, regardless of color, for the most part, you'll be able to get employed here in California. For the most part. So it's like, you just have to fit into their company culture, if you will, and you'll be fine. So it's very interesting to see that whole dynamic sort of shift and go away. And now my husband likes to listen to, like, Joe Rogan and Joey Diaz podcast. And I heard them talking about that. I think it was on Joey Diaz's show that now it's basically a free-for-all. Like, there's no thing that requires you to live in a certain city. And I think that's kind of been going on since the democratization of the internet and, like, YouTube and all these things. You didn't really have to, like, move to a LA or a New York City to be a star. You can kind of get the ground work done wherever you're at. But now it's even more so because the bigger places are shut down and it's all everybody's working from home. And that might be, like, we might be on the outset of this new way of things. And that's kind of how I feel and how I'm taking it. So I agree that if I don't have to be in LA to, like, be an actress or be a singer or what have you, and I can just do that from wherever I am and sort of turn in the music, turn in the work, why would I choose to live in a place that's, like, 3-4 times more expensive than other places? It kind of is counterproductive to me. So even in my own personal life, I'm starting to take, like, inventory of things and try to figure stuff out. It seems like now is a pretty crazy time to move in the middle of a pandemic. Like, where would you find a job or what would you do and stuff like that? So I don't really know. But, and it kind of sucks for me because I feel like I was on, like, a really, really good trajectory. Like, I was on a path to maybe this year, next year, get a house. So now with all this going on, it kind of threw me back up into the mix. Like, well, what do I do? Do I even want that? Like, where should I be trying to live? The goal for me was always to, like, move back west, like, towards LA in a nicer neighborhood that I could afford. And now it's like, damn, is that even smart? Like, because unemployment and poverty is going to be so high, do I want to live in a more densely populated area? Just, I don't know. I don't know. It's a lot of stress for me. But working from home has, like, opened up the world in a way, so I feel like I have a lot more possibilities than I had previously, and I need to just take time, do some personal work, and figure out where it is that's going to be the best place for me and, like, my family. You understand what I mean? So, the fact that they're giving us another Trump check, to me, says that we're not nowhere near out of the woods, and things are going to get a lot worse before they get better in terms of economics. I work with money and investments and stuff like that for my job, so I have to say that that, too, like, doesn't look good. All the markets look very inflated. All these big companies are getting, like, just like we're getting a stimulus, like, they're getting stimulus, too, and I think it's bolstering things and it's making things appear to be how they're really not. Like, if we were just, I feel like right now is worse than what happened back in 2008, and it's just, like, stuff is being put up in our face, and then plus the protests and all that and the riots that's going on, like, all these things are being put up, and we're not really focused on the fact that our financial structure and capitalism is taking, like, another hit, and it's been 10 years? So, like, that's pretty crazy. And I read this article that said the average adult, like, my parents' age group, I would say, like, maybe 55 to 30. Those people are not even 30. 55 to 35, right? Because some of my peers are 30. So they're saying that group of people is still recovering from the economic downturn in 2008. And, like, I can vouch for that for people I know and people in my family. Like, there are people that still have their houses underwater that are my neighbors. So, I mean, upside down, underwater. Same diff when you owe money. But it's like, so then this is happening too. And it's just, I don't really know if I can say with conviction anymore. And I've kind of been on this train for a long time. I wanted to move to Europe after college, after FITM in 2011. So it's like, just this just sets in more that I don't think America is like the last stop for me. I don't think America is the safest. I don't think it's the best place to live. And all that exceptionalism that we were taught from our parents and grandparents is like, maybe it was never true. Maybe it was true for a time, but in my lifetime, it really hasn't been true. And then there's a new study that came out that shows America is the worst place to raise children, just right above Mexico. So it's very, very crazy to me. And I think very telling, too, that like we get all this marketing, all this propaganda that we're the best and America's the safest and America's the greatest and all these things. When if you look at the empirical data, that's not the truth. So even for me, a woman that is like a working age and all of this stuff that maybe wants to start a family, I don't know if here is the best place for me to do that. So, and as a Black American, it seems kind of even worse. Like, it looks like we're going back in time a little bit. Like, as much as I am pro-Black and I care about the advancement of our people and all of that, I don't know if I have the stomach and the time and just the mental strength to go through another civil rights struggle. Like, I don't know if I have it in me to deal with that and do that. Just seeing it all the time on TV is stressful and it's depressing. And seeing people protest and argue and fight with police for our basic rights and like just to respect Black people, don't be fucking us up, don't choke us out when you pull us over for a routine traffic stop, like it's a lot. And I know that, you know, since we lost whatever war that we lost and got us in the situation to where Black people, all people of, you know, a more melanated tone are just the underclass of the world, I don't know if I can, like, try to change that and do something. Maybe I just need to get the fuck home. Like, and it makes me sad because America is my home. Like, through ancestry DNA and research and genealogy, my family is part of the first Americans, the first Black people that were brought to this country. Like, we are related to people from Jamestown, Virginia, and all this shit. I should not feel unsafe here. I shouldn't feel like this isn't the place that I want to have children, and this isn't the place that I should, this is my home. This is the only country that I and my family, for 400 years and prior to that, know. This is the only place that we know. So it is like, it is a lot to be dealing with this right now. I don't know. And then all this other stuff going on in the Black community that, like, I don't want to trash this, I don't want to talk about it here, but with these men, child, and the way they embarrassing the women, I don't know if child rearing, I don't know if I'm cut out for that. Because the disrespect that y'all have to endure, I'm not ready. I can't do it. So, let's move on to something lighter and something fun. So, since we've been at home, it's been real, real boring. And I am a certain type of like TV aficionado. I like certain things. I like certain varieties of shows. I personally like time period shows. I love a Manor House, some good costuming. I just, you know, Downton Abbey, The Tudors, Elizabeth the Golden Age. Those are my go-to type of things. The Durrells and Corfu. Like, I like those type of shows. I found something that I like, and I finished the whole show. It's called The Eddie on Netflix. It stars, I think his name is Andre Holland or something. He's the guy that was like the boyfriend in Moonlight at the end, the older boyfriend. That's him. Also, Amanda Steinberg, she's in The Hate U Give and a bunch of other stuff, but I think The Hate U Give is like her most recent thing besides this. And there's a super cute Muslim boy that's in it. I found him on Instagram and I messaged him because I wanted to let him know that his performance was top tier. He was great. This is the first thing I've ever seen him in. I don't know if he's been on other TV shows and movies and stuff out in France because he speaks French. But he was firing. I want to see him in more stuff, okay, because he's got the look. And that boy that was in The Night Of, I cannot think of his name. But he, like, had a little bit of that hot Muslim vibe. But this boy is way, way cute. And he could be, like, Muslim boy supermodel. So I want to see this, and I want to see this look out more. Like, I want to see it on runways, and I want to see it on TV. Give me some hot Muslim boys. I like it. I want it. I need more of it. So The Eddie is a show about this jazz musician from New York. He has this family and blah, blah, blah. Things occur. It unravels later on in the show, so I'm not going to give nothing away. But things occur. He moves to France. He opens a club with his good friend, a jazz club called The Eddie. And it's just a great show. It's a great, I love it. The ending kind of made me a little sad because I don't feel like it left room. I don't know if he leaves room for a sequel or whatever, but I want to see more. But it was just a perfectly put together show, perfectly executed. The arc was great. All the characters well developed, multifaceted, multicultural. All right, I want to see more TV like this. Less of the meaningless. Like, I can't stand a cop show, a court show, a goddamn whodunit detective show. Take that off TV and give us more artfully thought out things about people and their personal lives and relationships. I don't want to see no shoot 'em up, bang bang, fake cop show. I can't handle it. So please, divert the budgets to that, to more real life, calm, basic. Oh, the other thing that I really, really liked about this movie was, it was not at all, like, very aspirational. And a lot of stuff these days tends to be that way. Like, it shows the richest people, like, all the reality TV and stuff like that. It had a little element of money. But for the large majority of the cast in the show, people was broke. People was regular. They was working class people that was making it happen. They was... So, I want to see more real things on TV. More real shows. The Eddie, fantastic. I don't know what kind of awards you can get for being on Netflix as a show. I think it might be the Emmy. But give them all the Emmys. Cute Muslim boy, Amanda, and Andre, because the performances, I mean, who's doing better than that? The Eddie on Netflix, streaming now. All right. Now, we're going to go over to my Look of the Week segment. It is my absolute honor and my pleasure to give you this week the great, the beautiful Lori Harvey in Hermes top and bag, Balenciaga trousers. She did not name the shoes. Lori never disappoints me personally because she just embodies, I feel, the rich California vibe. And we don't typically get to see that when a lot of black girls, especially her age. So I love it. And, like, I love that she's also friends with Alisa Johnson, who also gives me that rich California black girl aesthetic. And it just, it makes me feel a way. Now, it makes me feel poor and makes me feel slightly depressed from time to time. But besides that, it makes me feel like I, too, can, you know, rise to those heights if I work hard and be diligent. And I, too, can have, like, a collection of Kelly Croc bags and just fly. It's glory. And then the skin and the makeup. Also, another development is I am hearing and I'm seeing on the internet that the great Lori Harvey is working on a beauty line. And she was talking about on one of those Essence Brady Bunch things that she is working on it because there are not many black women or black people, period, that are represented in the beauty market in the top tier, in the highest level. And I was like, ooh, boy, that's the word. So she is coming to join the pantheon with Pat McGrath and Rihanna with Fenty. I want to see it because Lori has been beat on the scene since she came out, and then her mama is beat too. So this is generational fineness, generational greatness, and we need those secrets. We need those, like, we need the tools. Also, I feel like, no disrespect to Lori, but there is a certain type of like class and look and just put togetherness on a kept lady, if you know what I'm talking about. And they just got that style and that swag, and that's what I need like laid on to the rest of us. So Lori, you gonna give us some classy makeup looks? Because right now all of the like beat face, RuPaul's Drag Race type looks with the winged eyeliner and the multi-level eyeshadow and stuff, I can't do that. So I hope that you're giving us makeup looks to look like yourself. Like very no makeup, makeup look very
classy, classy, very clean, very fresh. Because that's what I want.
Beautiful Lori Harvey look of the week, don't sleep.
And the jewelry is always on point.
The hair is always on point. There, we cannot say enough about perfection that Lori brings to Instagram. Next, we have Aleli May, LA girl. Now, Aleli, like, she serves looks for a living. That's just what she does. But this week, she came in a Telfar look for the most part. Telfar pants, Telfar belt, Telfar white mini shopping bag. Telfar had a big controversy over the weekend or last week. They released a new like colorway and all this, and people bought it up, the resellers, the hypebeasts. So now Telfar is on like the track of a Supreme and things like that, where people just stand out in line and they hoard all the stuff to try to sell it for more, 2, 3, 4 times the amount online. I personally, I don't want to support it, but I do think that it's going to add to the like legend and the like thirst and like I already said, the hypebeastness of his brand, because if the person is willing to pay, the bag was originally $150. If a person is willing to pay $400, then it justifies like the quality of your work, the fan base for your work, all of that. So maybe you can release things that are a bit higher tier in the luxury market. So like I've said before, I love the Telfar bag. I love the idea of it. I even love the TC logo because my initials are T. But just like a little bit of the construction and stuff, I don't like that much. And I would really, really, really like a leather bag so I could keep it, you know, maybe pass it down to my children. I don't know if like vegan leather could stand up like that. I remember I had a Stella McCartney bag, and Stella McCartney is also known for vegan products, and it just didn't hold up. So I don't know. His bags are cheaper, so it justifies it. But still, like I would love to see a more expensive line of Telfar bags, like maybe $400 or $500 and up, that are using like leather, luxury skins, and all that. Maybe that's against his ethics for his brand. I know a lot of brands are moving away from that, and I'm fine with that also. But just give me something that's a bit more sturdy, some detachable straps, and I will be on the Telfar fan train. Okay, I'm ready for it. I'm waiting. Aleli, back to the fit. Jordans, as always, I believe Aleli has a partnership with them. White tank top, glasses, fly hair, fly makeup, as always. Aleli is just a classic LA girl. She is like a girl that I grew up with or seeing on Melrose and Fairfax, and just walking around with her homegirls looking cute, always in the latest, but never like too like stuffy. It's always like they're streetwear girls. So that's why I love Aleli. Kills it every time, don't ever disappoint. Follow her on Instagram if you want to see more. And she drops her own Jordan and shoe collabs every now and then. So if you're interested in that and you're a girl that's like a sneakerhead, check her out. She's your vibe. Next, we have the beautiful model, Jasmine Daniels, in a full vintage Jean Paul Gaultier look from No Signal ATL. Jasmine is just a beauty. She always slays the look. And I don't know if she has some type of partnership with No Signal, because she tends to tag them a lot in her vintage posts. Like, she has this Vivian Westwood corset top, and she tagged them as well. So I don't know if she works with them or if that's just her favorite place to shop down in Georgia, but very cute look. Vintage. I love the Gaultier aesthetic as a 90s kid, so never disappointed. Hair and makeup always. Skin always on point. Love it, Jasmine. Never disappointed. And last but not least, we have Instagram OG Melissa's Wardrobe in a Rick Owens beautiful brown dress. Like, that's why I had to give her a look of the week, because the tone of this dress and the tone of the skin and the gold hoops by Mishu Designs, like, it's just money. She looks rich. She looks like a chocolate goddess. So, Melissa's Wardrobe. And Melissa also recently had a feature in Vogue about how to work on your personal brand now that we all work from home. So check her out. Check out her Instagram. And those are my look of the week. Like I said in the last episode, if you would like to be featured on Look of the Week, please DM me at Tam, not Tammy, on Instagram or Twitter. I also run the Watch Time to Time page, so let me know and I'll share your look here. Fly Girls Only. And now, for my absolute favorite part of the show, 106 in Parking Lot with your host, Tam. All right, so this week, I've got some great, 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 great music for you. But if you could not tell, already that this show is going to be about currency. As you can see, my Lifers X Taylor shirt, I'm about that life. Okay, I've been to maybe 5 currency concerts starting in like 2010, 2009. So just me and currency, it's been a go way, way back. I used to like currency when he was with Cash Money in them. And then he departed. I used to see him on, like, you know, the little hood-to-hood type video, DVD that you will buy. Currency had his own. He was just talking about, like, I had to leave that deal and whoop, and how I'm on my grind, on my hustle. And I'm out here, and I'm just making about the music. I'm going to just put out music. I'm going to tour off of it. And I'm going to just get my own. Like, I've been around enough people. I learned enough. I think he was around No Limit Soldiers in them, too, because he is from New Orleans. So I think he just soaked up enough game and was like, look, I got it. Stand back, let me do it. Now, it might take longer. It might have to hustle a little harder, but I'm going to do it, and it's going to be all me. And maybe it's because I'm like an L.A. girl, a real, real L.A. girl, like I'm from the hood, kind of. There's just nothing I love more than a hustler. Just somebody that's willing to just bet on themselves and go out there and get it. So, currency. Let's get into this project. Currency gave us the Outrunners with him and Harry Fraud. Now, if you don't know about Harry Fraud, go Google him. The music of the Harry Fraud, please.
You hurt yourself. So go check it out.
It is called The Outrunners. It has 9 songs. I like all of them. There are absolutely no skips, but like I said, as you can see by my work, I am biased. Okay, I love Currency. First, we got Offloading. Now, Currency is one of those rappers that just the bars and the vibe is so good that you cannot. So I have to share Currency's bars with you so you can understand my love and why I love these songs. So, my convertible top peel, my life real. I could get you the details, but I don't squeal. Take whatever I want, nigga, I don't steal. Anybody could get, though, the game fair. Like, and then he goes over to what I think is like the chorus for the whole CD, because I heard him say it in several songs. He's like, I think it's the chorus for like the whole, or like the mood for the album, because he says it a lot of times. Keep the E in it.
Chevy on switches.
Baby, we smoking weed in it. Don't post me any pictures.
Hit the switches on Chef Highway
dipping. If you can keep it secret, we can always kick it. Just player bars. Like, I like that. That is my vibe. That is my mood. That is who I am. Woo! Fine. Then we got Cutlass Cathedral. I only play old music in my old car. Count new money in my old loft. Like, I want you to tell me who's rapping like this, who this cool. 90s iRock featuring Wiz Khalifa. Another very smooth vibe. Wiz Khalifa singing. Like, he has been working on it. Like I said with the Janae review last week, Wiz been gone for a minute. But he's been cooking in that mansion. Him and Bash been over there playing, and Wiz been getting in the gym, you know, getting fit, so he's not the skinniest person in America no more, but he's also been working on the music, because his voice and his tone in the song is on. This ain't no Black and Yellow with Khalifa. So, check it out. 90s iRock beat. Then we got Golden Chrome. Golden Chrome is such a good song, because, like, besides L.A., because I'm an L.A. girl, I talk about it at length on the show, I know, y'all probably got to hear it, but I love me some New Orleans. Like, if I had to live in another city in America that wasn't like LA or New York, it would definitely be New Orleans. And Miami is up there too, but it would definitely be New Orleans, because I just like the people. I like the down home type of vibe. I like the hospitality. I like the food, just everything. So, this song is so New Orleans, and he's like just talking about how they were just at parades and stuff and chilling with the family before the war closed. But the hook is the best part of the whole song. And I think this is a song that will age very well. And Currency will love to play the song later on in life. And so will his son. Because the hook is like, when my son is full grown, may he ride on Golden Chrome in a Chevy of his own. Just like his pop did before the world closed. Like, it's just a smooth, smooth song. So go listen to it. This whole, well, I feel like all Currency's music, but this project specifically, this is driving music. Like, if you have a long trip, you got somewhere to go, just throw this song on. Let the other currency play and you'll get there. It'll be a smooth vibe. We got Magello Red. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Featuring Rick Ross. Now, Currency gave a shout out to Rick Ross earlier in the project, talking about he went to Rick Ross' house and Rick Ross is so rich. He got cars, by color in his garages and it is fire curse. He get back on his grind like harder than ever before. Because, you know, when you get a little money, you're not as thirsty as go out and get it as you was before. So when you see somebody a little richer than you, that's elevated, it might make you be like, okay, I got a little something. Like, maybe I need to step it up too. Like, I got all this, but I can have more. So Reverend Jello, Rick Ross. Now, the Rick Ross is fire, but I got to give you the currency bar. So that's what it's about.
Jet life establishment.
Rolexes and whips, palace extravagant. We hustle for all of this. It ain't nothing to get up in the morning, lay out a fit, next season drip, sneak preview shit.
Shit you gotta
pray to get. Esau! Please. And I'm from the east side as well, so maybe that's why this just resonates so deeply with me. But Riviera Beach featuring Conway the Machine is like a very cool, chill song too. And it has this little sample that's like, if I want it and I get it and I didn't get it or whatever, it's because I changed my mind. Like, I just like it. I think it's a cool song. Seven Seas, more player songs. I, you know, as like a lady of a certain type of standard, I like this song. Don't get me wrong. The bars is raw. The flow is raw. The beat raw. But it's just the story that I don't like. And I know it's because of my position in life. He's like, met a girl at the sports bra, at the sports bar, her uniform, booty shorts, and a sports bra. When she get off her shift, she's gonna be in the, like, that's so nasty. You niggas love fucking help. That's so dirty. You met a girl at a restaurant and you gonna invite her to your house? Like, oh, currency. Do better. It's college girls and nice girls that work in offices and whatnot down in New Orleans. Now, I'm not saying that the girl at the sports bar is not a nice individual, but do you gotta take her home? Like, it's nasty. Like, maybe I'm a girl, but no. Rise above. Seven Seas, still a great song. Now, In the Coop.
In the Coop is my absolute
favorite song on this project. And it's because the song is fire, but also because it has a great Jim Jones on it. Now, my best friend, since I was 12 years old, Brandon, introduced me to Dipset. Loves Dipset. I mean, of course, everybody knew about Dipset. Joel Santana, everybody knew about that. Brandon introduced me to, like, Dipset. Okay, and Jim Jones just has a different type of flow. I don't feel like people respect Jim Jones because he was on the show with Chrissy and all of that, and he did Ballin', so people feel like, I don't know, like, he's a commercial rapper, but he's not. Jim Jones got flow. And on this song, if you want to test the validity of Jim Jones' rap skills, you need to go listen to In the Coop. Ride around in the coop with the beat on loop. Like, woo! 7 days without prayer, that's a weak-ass week. Jim Jones is like, oh, that's why we keep a fancy Lord, I'll beat the charge. You can see the pain in my, like, oh, Jim Jones, it's so good. Please go listen to it. Ride around in the coop with the beat on loop. Like, thank God for Jim Jones rapping. I thank God for Currency bringing him to this project. I thank God for Chrissy letting him out the house, go to the studio. I just thank God. In the Coop, featuring Jim Jones.
And then the last song
on the project is Pounds of Paper. Great song.
Pounds of Paper is just
classic money talk, but in Currency's like chill,
laid back sort of way.
And it's just, I don't know, like I said, it's perfect riding music. It's perfect smoking music if you smoke. And just go listen to the Outrunners. Currency and Harry Fraud, right now, it will change your mood. If you're driving somewhere, it will change your drive. And like I said at length, that Jim Jones song, it will puff life into you. So thank you. And,
you know, Jess, nigga, we're having a baby.
Their life forever. Next, we're going to go into the debut project by the great, the beautiful, the talented, the stylish Flo Milli. Now, Flo Milli is coming to us with Whole White. It's a project with 12 songs. And again, no skips on Flo Milli. Now, Flo Milli is fairly new. She's fairly young. She does have like a lot of stuff out there if you want to go look on the internet. She's been like on her grind a little bit with the rap. But as far as a full project put together, this is the first that I'm hearing of. First up is Mood Every Day. I'm the shit and that's my mood every day. If you're trying to fuss with me, it's a little too late. This is a perfect intro to a rap album for a female, I feel like, because it sets the tone. Like, look, I'm not looking for you to like me. I'm not looking for features. I'm not looking for maybe like a rap boyfriend or nothing. Look, no, I've arrived. I'm here. And if you're trying to get on the Flo Milli train, like, it's already kind of close. Like, we're already doing us. We don't need no extra. And I just love that another solid point that was brought up that I did not think about because, I mean, we are who we are. We're limited to our experiences. JT of the City Girls brought up the fact that Flo Millie personifies dark skin confidence in this project. Now, she didn't say it like that, but check the tweets. She said that, you know, Flo Millie is dark skin confidence. And I feel like that's very true, and that's very poignant as well, because think about the amount of darker skin girls that you see elevated to the top of music. There's not a lot. And if you want to go back, if you like Vlad TV, there's an interview with Vlad and Matthew Knowles when they talk about that. And I guess Matthew Knowles teaches some type of history of music class or something out of college. And he challenges his students to go out and find a dark-skinned black woman that reached the top of the charts maybe in the last 40, 50 years. And it was they were hard-pressed to do so. So I think it is so great and so beautiful that Flo Millie is out here letting people know, look, I'm that one. I don't need nobody else. And I'm fine. I'm working and I'm doing my thing. So I love it, and I want to see more of this because, you know, there when darker-skinned black women are elevated to the highest parts and they are, you know, adored and loved and given their flowers and things like that, it helps rise the tide of all of black people, right? Because if you look a certain way, if you're more fair-skinned or whatever, you're only, like, called beautiful or you're only seen as more attractive because of your proximity to whiteness. And even if you don't like it, like, the truth is the truth. Colorism is a thing. It is what it is. Like, it's the remnants of what we call this great place, America. So, if a darker-skinned woman is, like, elevated to the top of the beauty and fashion industry and is adored, like, put on the covers of magazines, put on campaigns, she a cover girl, all this stuff, it makes all of the rest of us, like, I don't know how to say this in not a mean way, but it rises the standard of beauty and it puts us as the standard of beauty. Because right now, the standard of beauty is like a Lois Lane, Jennifer Aniston looking chick. So if the standard of beauty can be Flo Millie, then everybody under that, we can all be beautiful. And I'm not saying like we have to be beautiful only and these people gotta go away, but we're saying like we need to be equally elevated. So I love the fact that Flo Millie is out here, rising the tide of all black girls, like, look, I'm the one. I'm fly, I don't need it. Perfect. Then it's Beef. Flo Mix. This is a great song, and I like the bars on it. Now, that's why, that's another reason why I like Flo Millie, because it's not all like this my body, my pussy rap. It's like some real bars. For her age group and for her station in life, she's a 19-year-old girl, so don't be trying to come here like, oh, she's not Tupac, but she's talking about things she wants to talk about. And MB, she's like, my dad will drill you like a cavity, and he won't let you in on his strategy. Better think twice before you come from my family. Honey, you could cause a fatality. Can't do no broco, they give me allergies. She's like, but I know they love my personality, probably because I got a nigga mentality. Flo Millie, she's just hard and she got flow. That's why she called Flo Millie. So, like, just respect Flo Millie. Give her her flow. Give her her coin. So that'd be that. Next song is, I think, my favorite song on the project, but I have two. So this is number two. I'll walk around like that bitch. It's just a great song. The bars in the song hilarious. She's like, big top, small legs, bitch feel like a wine glass. It makes me laugh all the time every time I hear it. And then she says, okay. Now, this is a sidebar, but I've never been so thankful and so happy not to have a baby daddy, because that is the new diss. In every song, every rap song, especially with the girls out, all of them is like, your baby daddy like me, your baby daddy my DM, your baby daddy wanna fuck me, your baby daddy buy me this and that. Like, I will be stressed and depressed. I cannot handle all the sneak diss and all the subs coming from everywhere and everybody about my baby daddy. Because I need y'all baby daddies to be in these streets. I'm just saying. So
I'm glad.
Whew. You just keep me here to cross because I cannot handle this. And she's like, I know your baby daddy wanna fuck. Every Wednesday I'm that nigga woman crutch. Even if I broke my leg and used a crutch, I walk around like that bitch. Well, really shit. So, she's just good. In the Party was a single. We talked about that before. It's up when I step in the party. I jump in any all of my thoughts. Cute song. Like, it's just a cute song. Pockets Bigger. I love this song. None of you bitches is fucking with me. None of you bitches is fucking with me. None of you bitches is fucking with me.
She should have had Rico Nasty on this song.
Now, I do get the legacy build of it. Like, I didn't want to have a bunch of features on my first project, but I feel like Rico Nasty would have killed that song, and it would have been the perfect collab. The video would have been fire. It just would have been money. So please, if you come out with the deluxe version of this. Oh, why is you here? Please put Rico on this song. I saw on Twitter that y'all got an unreleased song, and I want to hear that too. But this song needs Rico Nasty. It's fire. But Rico Nasty make it number one hit. Please, bro. Please. For my favorite song on the podcast. Maybe my favorite Flo Milli song too. We got Weak. And I'm so happy she put out the music video too. So that means that they know, her team knows that this is the song, and they're going to push it. I ain't talking about no fitness when I say these niggas weak. And she used the SWV sample. It's just, it's so beautiful. I could not have picked a better song or lyrics or anything myself. It's just crazy.
She's like, all these niggas
hit me up when they be craving my attention. Ain't even let them hit it. Got them sprung off just the friendship. Trying to claim me, I can't blame them, but that's just why I keep my distance. And these niggas weak.
Don't be calling out this.
Bomb song, bomb video. Go check it out. Run that cash up. Bomb song, Weak. Send the Addy. Send the Addy is my song. I like that she's putting in her flag on things because I have yet to hear a rapper from Alabama. Now, there's probably one out there that I like, but he just didn't rep it because Flo Milli is coming on this song like, he want a bitch from Mobile. Nigga, we nasty and trill. Like, I ain't never heard nobody rep Mobile, Alabama like that. Flo Milli might be the one to put y'all on the map. So stand Flo Milli, rep for Flo Milli. I don't think you can handle it. I can let him post me on the internet, keep that shit on the low. I ain't feeling that. Like, woo!
19
is just about Flo Milli stunning on other girls her age. Because she's like, man, you bitches ain't built like me. I got rich at the age of 19. They chasing dick while I'm chasing my dreams. And it's like, that's kind of true. That's what young girls be doing. And I wish, if I could impart anything to like a 15 to 20 year old girl is, yeah, like, guys are just gonna be around. Especially with social media now. You don't even gotta be out at parties or out on the scene to like get attention. So you should really just be going after the thing that you want and the things that you feel are important. Because like what I've discovered in my old age, 27, like, these men ain't really about it. Like, even the rich ones, they're not really about it. So if you want something for you, you gotta go out and get it because ain't really nobody about to give it to you. I mean, and if they do, they might take it away when they feel like it. So my best advice to young women is, like Flo Milli said, like, don't be chasing the penis is free. It always has been. Do not chase it. You need to run after it. Because if you do what you're supposed to do, they're going to be after you. So just stay chill. Don't be thirsty. Thirsty is never cute on a girl. It don't work. May I is a very, very cool song. She sampled or, like, remixed the Snoop Dogg Gin and Juice. And she's like, May I kick a little something for the G's and take a nigga only for the weekend. Very cute song. Bonfla. Pussycat Doll is very cute and very funny because I feel like maybe Flo Milli was probably young, like 10, 11, 12, when the Pussycat Dolls were out. So she's, like, very aware of them and all their things. And she's like, I feel like a pussycat doll. I don't answer when you call. Bomb song. I'm the FBIC. She know I'm hot because she not. They can't keep up with me, but deep inside, they want my spot. Like, Flo Milli is just that girl. Not Friendly. Now, Not Friendly is my song because I feel like that's who I am. Flo Milli is like, these girls be acting. I can tell that you're pretending. These hoes really be hating, and that's the reason why I'm not friendly. Like, and I can't, like, stress the fact that I really don't like super duper friendly ass people because I feel like you kind of got to be a little bit fake to be friends with everybody, be cool with everybody. Nobody is likes everybody. Nobody is cool with everybody. Nobody is that agreeable. So if you got 500 friends, 1,000 friends, you're called, oh yeah, that's my best friend, that's my close friend, that's my friend, that's my friend, like something about you is not right. Okay? Because that's not, no. You could be likable, you could be well liked, but just all these friends, some of the foot, and I don't want to be a part of it. I'm good.
And the last but not least,
it's a song called Excuse Me. Now, this is really the only song on the album that I don't feel, and I feel like it's probably because of my age, but it's like, excuse me, bitch, and I just can't vibe with it. But besides that, perfect album, still no skips because it's the last song on the project. So just fire, fire, fire. The looks were fire. The verses were fire. The fact that you didn't have no features, also very legendary, especially being a female. Your cover, bomb. The music videos have come out so far, bomb. So, Milli, please stay on your trajectory. Stay safe, stay solid, stay out the mix. You know, don't be getting to no girl drama. And just continue to ride yourself. Like you said, I'm trying to make $1 million my salary. You're going to get it. And more. And I think when the world opens back up, because of the foundation that you built online and how many people were happy for your release, including me, that your offers for touring and stuff are going to be way more significant than you would have got otherwise. So please, for Millie, hold out, stay on the grind, and collect your bag, because I think a CEO of some type of group, entertainment group here in California, said they're not going to return to live events until 2022. So in 2022, you will be well poised and well positioned to get a big bag for your performances, because you got all of us streaming and all of us like on the 12 million train. So get your performance skills cracking. You did very good in the video where you were a cheerleader. So amp that up. Get yourself some type of setting for the stage, because I feel like you're a girl that could create a world, sort of like Iggy Azalea did when she first came out with her tour and she made it like, you know, it was like a set. That's what you need for a million. And just take it to the top. And if you want to do some virtual performances to get us in the mood, get us in the, come on with it. Let's do it, Chloe, because I want to see you up there at the top. And we could easily be number one if everybody get behind it, everybody push it. At least you get into the top 10. So, Chloe Millie shit. Oh? And last but not least for the albums, we have a NY Love Story by Just. Now, Just was on the show last week with the interview. NY Love Story has 8 songs, and I love 5 of them. So, the first song is Fear, and that's the song that we discussed on the show. Love that song. Second is Ride For Me. Now, Ride For Me is a deep song. It's kind of like when you're trying to have a relationship, but you like on the grind and you're trying to reach some personal goal, and it's very hard to balance the two. So it's like you don't really know if this person is there for you because they see your potential and like where you could be going, or if they just like you for you and they would be there with you even if you didn't have no plan, even if you was flat broke. So it's like, would you be still here with that same enthusiasm, that same level of attachment? Would you ride for me either way? Because it gets icy out here when you're trying to be successful. It ain't always going to be champagne and Chanel. Sometimes it's going to be, you know, biscuits and bus rides. So we got to know. Is you down or what? Fake Love. We discussed Fake Love on the show. But Fake Love is that song. It's the one. Then, Let Me Know. I love Let Me Know. It's the same sort of kind of vibe as Ride For You, but it's like, it's the sort of, kind of the same vibe as Ride For You, but Let Me Know is more so like, oh, you need to let me know up front, like, what your deal is. Because you said, oh, I love you, and I'm down, and I'm going to be there for you, and I'm going to support your dreams, blah, blah, blah. And then now you're acting weird. Like, I'm telling you I'm busy, I'm doing this and that, and you think I'm lying to you. I'm telling you I don't got time to go hang out with you or Netflix with you and chill because I'm doing this and that. And then you, like, think I'm trying to cheat or I'm doing some other stuff. Like, girl, no. You know when you came here, we had plans, we had goals, we had places to go. You said you was with it. And now all I hear is complaints. Come on, pick a side, can't have it both ways. Let me know. I feel that song. Best Friend is my last favorite song on the project. Best Friend is a very cute song. It's such a chill vibe, and it reminds me of, like, that early Party Next Door, that early weekend, like how they just talk to the girl and they be real, real smooth. So I like this a lot. Just, I feel like this is the first project in a wide array of things. A lot of this music is like fashion show music. It can because it's so smooth and they go into each other so well. I could see this working out very well with your clothes. And I can't wait to see the music video. He said they're on the way, so some might already be up by the time this is posted. So please, go like, share, subscribe. Go over there to Just, download, buy, stream. Support the Just movement. And also, buy some of his clothes if you follow him on Instagram. And that is that for the album. Now over to the singles, and we have several singles this week, starting with The Light by Joey Badass. Now, I love me some Joey Badass.
This just, oh, this rap is like,
and that the beat that he used is very like 90s New York, very Nas. The lyrics are on point. Joey Badass, I cannot wait for the full project. I feel like Joey is a father now. He's elevated, he's been rich for a little while, but he still has that discontentment, and Joey is very, like, politically astute, like, he watches things. I'm not saying that he's, like, okay, Cornel West, but he's on it, and he's watching things, so he can talk about them kind of eloquently, and I really, really like that. Joey is also an excellent performer, so I hope that whatever he releases, you know, COVID be damned, that he does some virtual performances, because some of his others have been very, very, very good, and he does it with the band, and he has backup singers, so just Joey Badass, The Light, go stream it, download it, buy it right now.
Rascal by Tinashe.
I'm a little rascal. Okay. Now, I don't understand why you good people don't really, you know, adore and elevate Tinashe. I don't understand it. Maybe somebody could explain it to me in the comments. I don't know if it's because of Ben J in that interview he gave on Vlad when he was like, oh, Tinashe is the reason why the New Boys broke up and blah, blah, blah. But just, man, because she came out in the two-on song, it was everywhere. Like, I hate that song because they played it so much. Like, I feel like they play it one time and we hear it in my dreams. But her other songs, her other music has been good, so I don't understand. Please go and tap into Tinashe. She's more than just a cute face. Go and listen to some Tinashe music. It's by Our Rascal. It's a party song. It's very dancey. Check it out. Pop star, DJ Khaled, and Drake. Ariana, Selena, my visa. Get everything that you need to, my girl. Drake. Now, if you want to talk about why Drake is in a different category and why Drake is richer and why Drake is more elevated than this other, like, rap canister of real niggas, it's because Drake comes with the things that the ladies want to hear. And a lot of y'all, I don't know, because you hate your mama or because your daddy didn't love your mama or whatever, but y'all got problems with women, real deep-seated issues, and you do not. The last thing you want to do is talk about, like, being nice to a girl or buying a girl stuff or making a girl have a good time. I don't know. It seems at this point it's kind of a tiny, teeny bit gay, but that's to me. Because everything about your homies, like, I ride for my homies, but then when girls like, oh, fuck these bitches, the MOB, blah, like, that's why you alone. Drake is over here, talking. Girl, you get anything you want, you buy anything you want, girl, I don't care, it's light work, I ain't worried. Spend the night in the mansion, drive the whip, I'm gonna send you a fly home, you're gonna go, it's gonna be the best memory of your life, boom, it's over. I don't understand it. Better, just be like Drake, even if Drake don't mean it, because clearly Drake got a baby on the side like all y'all too, so he's not really, but he's speaking a way, he's presenting himself in a way that the girls like. So less shooting and killing and robbing, and more, let's take these girls out shopping, because newsflash, we're the ones that buy the music, we're the ones that come to the concert, we're the ones that buy the merch. Speak to the ladies, or just be chill,
but the disrespect towards us is not
really going to get y'all far, okay? Now some of it is cool, it's cute, some of it's cool. We don't fuck with bitches like that, too. We might say a couple derogatory terms, but it cannot be this constant bashing of women. It's very homoerotic. Put it together, fellas. Pop star Drake and DJ Khaled. It's going to be a hit. It's going to be in the top 10,
5, whatever.
And this lets me know DJ Khaled's come on with some fire, too, for this second son. So we got the full rollout for Rashad. Let's see what we do for this other baby. It's going to be fire. Now, J. Cole gave us two singles, The Climb Back and Lion King on Ice. Very fired. J. Cole is back in his bag, back in his rap bag. He even discussed, or he let out a little post about how he feels like his personality and his lack of confidence and stuff like that stifled his career early on, and he didn't do a lot of features and stuff like that with his peers. So I don't know, J. Cole just didn't feel welcome. He wasn't feeling the vibe. And he wasn't as hungry. He just wanted money so bad. Life unstable. You know, the plight of a black person in America was broke out. He was struggling. Now I got something. I got married. I got a family. And I was kind of chilling. Then I went to the Dreamville camp, we made that project, we got Grammy nominated, I was around all the young people, you know, reminded me of my young self, and it lit the fire back up in the J. Cole. So go listen to these songs, bomb, and I can't wait for the album, because J. Cole, even though the young kids hate on him, because he's more socially responsible, socially conscious in his rap, it's some real life shit. Like, I remember when I was racking shoes at Nordstrom, and I was listening to There's No Things About a Life That's Better Than Yours, okay? A bitch almost cried. Because, like, life is real out here. It's not all diamond chains and girls twerking and champagne. There's real stuff going on. And you need some music sometimes to help you get through that. And to me, that is what J. Cole does. So, excellent. Lion King on Ice, The Climb Back. Go stream, download, buy right now. And look out for J. Cole's new project because it's on the way. It's afoot. Okay? And then also, this is random. But I'm seeing a lot of tweets and a lot of spicy stuff from SZA. I also saw SZA's tweet that she had shared the project with her mom. So, SZA's on the way, too, with the music. So we're about to get blessed. We just gotta be patient. We gotta be diligent. We gotta give to the homeless. We gotta stay inside, wear our mask, and get the music.
Gucci, Green Runway,
featuring the great Malibu Mitch. Now, Malibu Mitch had a feature on here last week for her Let's Be Honest, go stream, download, buy that right now. This week is Green Runway. Green Runway is from the UK. She's a very great rapper. Her visuals are always very cool too, and I love her fashion. Malibu Mitch feature on this killed it. Go check it out right now. He done fell in love with a baddie. Now he calling me Big Mac. Entanglement. Now, at first, I wasn't going to talk about this song because I did not want to support the bitch-assness and the weak-assness of this August Alsina Jada Pinkett situation.
But Rick Ross was on it, and I love me
some luxury rap, so I clicked on it, I listened to it, and it wasn't that bad. He's like, entanglement is when you're tangling and she's tangled up with me, entanglement. I feel like he tried to throw a little shade, but it don't matter. Jada's still in the nature, she was in Will Smith still there paying the bills. So everybody care about you, August. Talking about she was with a youngster, she doing what he ain't doing, blah, blah. You're not paying those bills, though, August. You can't buy no yacht. You can't take family on vacation. You can't buy my mama no house, August. So you need to relax. Everybody got some weekends. You take Tuesday, Thursday, and just send him my... That's what you was, and it's over now. So relax, I'm being bitter. You're acting like a video vixen out here. Stop. Entanglements? Okay, so I'm just on Rick Ross part, fire. Even though I didn't like his opening bar, I said jaded by the beauty or something. Like, don't do that, Rick Ross. Stay over there, Rick Ross. You got a lot of dirt to you on. People bring it out. Leave, keep your name out your mouth and synonyms. Don't do it.
I will appreciate the disrespect.
And last but not least, we have It's Like by Shady. Now, Shady is like a Instagram, Twitter famous rapper. She has albinism, so she's very, very fair skinned. But she can rap and she has bars. And I don't know if she always goes viral. And I don't know if people are making a joke of it based on how she looks or if people really like the music. But the music is really, really good. Now, I know that the entertainment business is very fickle and very particular.
So I don't know if...
Because of her disability, she would not be fully accepted. But some of you rap girls need to hire her. Because her bars is a lot... I'm not going to say better. But her bars is killing off some of y'all bars. They might not elevate her to the top of the charts and give her all the light and all the stuff because of how she looks, which is shady, but y'all remember what happened to the great Kelly Price. It just is what it is.
So, but
this girl, she can rap. And y'all might need to give her some checks, hire her on your team, let her, you know, help you out. Because the bars are there, the flow is there. Shady.
Follow her on social media.
I'll link her. Because she's bomb. And like I said, she got bars. Like, and I don't care about her disability. I still think she's fly. Blonde hair, she be looking cute. Go ahead, girl, kill him. Oh, and subscribe to her YouTube channel. She got a YouTube channel. Shady, check her out. And that is that for 106 in the parking lot. Now we're going to go over to my Chevy playlist where I give y'all tracks to ride to and keep the block hot when we're not here together. And this week, I'm going to start it off with Rude Child by Donovan. Now, I found Donovan on Twitter, and I love this song. The video, I don't think it's out yet. He had a link and he said it was on Patreon, which I think is very smart in these dark corona times. But, Donovan, I'm a rude child. It's just a bomb song. Go check Donovan out. Follow him on socials. He is going to be on the rise. Okay, I don't want to compare him to anyone, but he is like that early neo-soul, like when your mommy's listening to D'Angelo and then he's that vibe, but just for our time, so go check it out. Rude Child. Lockdown by Coffee. I love me some Coffee. Reggae queen. I put your body on lockdown. It's just fire song. She's like, where we all gonna go when the quarantine is over and everybody touch her up? What we gonna do? Coffee bomb. All Good by Jhené Aiko. I talked about this last week on the show. All Good. Why you let me hurt you so bad? Why you let me make you so mad? Like, it's just a bomb song. Check it out. Pretty Bitch Freestyle by Saweetie. I've been bumping this since it came out. I forgot to mention it here on the show, but it has been on my personal playlist, and it's just bomb. Now, I did not fully embrace Tap In because I feel like it feeds into the propaganda that Saweetie is whack, and that's not the case. I think she's just trying to get a hit like she did with My Type, and they're using a formula of, like, a very, very well-known hip-hop song that has Bang and putting Saweetie on it. So I get the formula, and she's trying to chart. I get it. This is about paying bills. It's not about getting no street cred. But Pretty Bitch Freestyle is like the real Saweetie. That's the California Saweetie that was rapping like in 2018 on her car app and stuff. Pretty Bitch music. Big
Mama. I'm a shit talker.
I see you copy every look. I got a few daughters. What? And it was just so many bars. She's like, since the age of 15, niggas trying to seduce me, but fuck getting paid off the blood, you can't use me. I'm top dollar bitch, but I'm far from a hoochie. Like, what child? Oh, as a girl that grew up off Avalon and Imperial, you niggas was real thirsty, real pressing with that pimp shit. That was not down either. So I feel this. We do not understand. It hit me right here in my chest. Like, oh God. These are bars right now. I'm the Birkin bag. Keep my baby hairs late. Fendi frame the Hermes mermaid. Like, bars, 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 bars. So go check Saweetie out. Pretty Bitch music. It's on the way. But in the meantime, it's Pretty Bitch Freestyle. Is bomb. If you ever in your mind want to doubt or want to talk about Saweetie's rap ability, play this. Get yourself back together. Because she's not playing with y'all. She She just be trying to get her money for her single. But the real rap is here. The talent is here. The material is here. Say no more. And the look. The look in the video was fire. It had like black, black is beautiful. Woo! Working in the birthday night. And then last but certainly not least, we got Weak by Flo Milli. Because like I said, I want this to chart. I want Flo Milli to get all her things. I'm trying to make a million my salary. Let's help Flo Milli. Weak is a fire song, fire visual. Stream it, download it, buy it. These niggas. Come on. I didn't even let him hit it, guys. From off his friendship. Please go listen to it. And that is my Chevy playlist for this week. I hope y'all enjoy it. It is available on Apple Music and YouTube. And anywhere else you would like me to put it, let me know. And I will add it there immediately. To close out the show, you know, I always love to leave you with a positive quote. Since we are in, like, these dark economic times, and I feel like things is going to get real Great Depression type, because me and my grandpa talk about this all the time. My grandpa's in his 80s, and he's, like, pointing out to me, because he watches the news on this big 100-inch TV, and he's like, you see that unemployment? You know, that's higher than, right? That's higher than the Great Depression. You know, the Great Depression only had this, blah, blah, blah. So it's just, I get a lot of information, and I feel like it's about to go down. Ain't nobody prepared for it. On Instagram and worried about looking cute and just being frivolous. So I want my quotes to be about living simply, simplicity, and just paring things back, because that is the spirit that we all need to be. Alright. The quote for this week is by Joshua Becker, and it is, the final step in crafting the life you want is to get rid of everything you don't. Yeah. Just sit with that, take that in. Okay? If you don't like your job. Right now you might need to keep that job because it's real rough out here. So we're on the second thing. If you don't like your place, you can always move. You can get another roommate. You can get another thing. You can get another living situation. I know me personally, monotony depresses me, so I need to change the scenery to keep myself happy, fulfilled, smiling, on the move. If you have a bunch of clutter in your house, your space is dirty, your space is full, get rid of it. Get it out. If you're cool with people that kind of make you sad or don't elevate you or don't, you know, talk about positivity and put you on the right track and give you good advice, like ditch them people. If you got a man that's like dragging you down a little bit, you might have to shake that off. Like, I know it's hard. I know you got it's confusing. You don't want to be lonely. But the first step in creating the life you want is to get rid of the stuff you don't want. So take a solid inventory of your life, all the things that you have currently. We're not worried about the things we don't have yet and the things we aspire to. I'm talking about current. Survey the ground. What do we got? All right, we got this. What are these things that we don't fuck with? All right, we got to take that out. Okay, now, we can lay this all out now. We got everything we like, everything we need, and we can build up from there. Because I feel like, too, if you really want to be successful, that those become the pitfalls of success. When you're around the wrong people, you got too much stuff going on, you don't have a clear path, you're not focused. So just take
those first steps.
Inventory. Get rid of. And then build.
And I think all of us will be better off.
Health, wealth, knowledge, self. That's what we're going to work on during quarantine, because this lockdown ain't going nowhere. We're about to be locked down. And you know we're about to be locked down for real, because they're giving us another $1,200. So that tells me it's not looking good. So please. Simplicity
will be the key. Thank you. I love you so much for coming here.
Hanging out with me every week. We got 118 subscribers now. Wow, wow, wow. Make me feel good. I really, really want to get to 200. I don't know if I can do that by the end of this year, but I'm going to make that my goal. December
31st,
New Year's. We need 200 subscribers on cam tonight. Okay, so help me do that. I'm going to do my part. I don't know what I can do. Y'all let me know what I should do. And thank you to all 118 of y'all. Y'all the bomb. I'll see y'all next week. Bye.